محمد صلى على رسول الله الكريم اللهم بعد
The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has stated, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that very valuable and precious advice it is, that the human being, when he, everything with regards to his success is based on his end. What does this mean? That today, what we are today, tomorrow there's no guarantee that we will be the same. There's no guarantee. Today we might be very righteous, upright individuals, maybe good status, maybe we've got respect, we're respectful, maybe we're religious, deendar, maybe we're pious, maybe we pray tahajjud, maybe we do dhikr, maybe we're abideen, and maybe we're dhakireen, maybe we've got all good qualities. This might be our situation today, but there's no guarantee it will stay like that. This condition, your condition right now, will it benefit you or not, ultimately? This situation that you're in now, all the maqam you have, the status, your practice, your piety, etc., will it succeed or not afterwards? So on this, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that there's no guarantee that you will remain constant, that what you are today, yes, individually, we each of us need to think about it. Don't think about other people, think about yourself. Yourself, that me, I shouldn't think that today I'm prostrating, today I'm practicing, today I'm remembering Allah. The real success is at the end. That when you are passing away from this world, will you be in that same position or not? This is the important factor to think about. The real success is this. That this point, with this iman, constant iman, a person, that when you, will you die with that iman tomorrow or not? With that faith, with that belief. This is the real factor. And there's no guarantee for that. Yes, that will be the real test, that when you leave this world in a khair, good way, reciting kalima shahada with complete iman, with good deeds, with strong faith, and you are then transferred to the court of Allah. That's the real success at that time. So this is a very big message, that the human being, his life, you know, it continues through effort and struggle. That's the definition of life. Every moment, every hour, the human being should just be making effort and struggle, and he should be concerned for his hereafter. Every moment, every hour. So fikr-e akhira, concern for the hereafter. If you're lazy on this for just a moment, then in reality, it might be that you will then slip up and fall away from your destination, and you could fail. You could fail. So to protect this conclusion is a big struggle. That the human being constantly, he keeps his condition intact and he presents himself in a good way to Allah. Why? Because you know our heart, this is where everything connects to, the heart of the human being. All iman, the levels of iman, the emotions of belief, they're all connected to the qalb, the heart. Remember this point. Remember this point. All of your emotions, your strong faith and iman is all related to the heart. Everything comes to the heart. If the qalb in Arabic is a changeable thing, the qalb, the heart, is fluctuating. That's the actual Arabic meaning, is the qalb is an organ, piece of flesh, can fluctuate. Sometimes it's up, sometimes it's down. You will feel yourself in your personal life. Sometimes you feel good, sometimes you're strong, sometimes you feel down or miserable, you won't feel like practicing. Sometimes you feel passionately for practicing. So every moment the heart is fluctuating. It's up and down, it's changeable. It doesn't stay constant in the same state. Today, you prayed Salah, you enjoyed it, you felt really strong, and you think, oh, I'm rightful, and I'm the rightful owner of paradise. And after some time, the same heart, you will feel that the emotions change for the human being, the same person. So the real success, the real message here that the Prophet ﷺ has told us in this hadith, and what is that? That your qalb, your heart, if you can maintain your heart, if you can control your heart, look after your heart properly and service it, then this heart will take you to the conclusion that when you're dying, you will die in a good way. But those people who are negligent of their qalb, the ghafileen, then it's a dangerous situation for those people who don't look after their heart. And they can slip up any time in life and fall down. So with regards to this, that's why a person's, you know, his manners and akhlaq, the disease, the sicknesses we have inside, one of them is kibr. When a person thinks, I'll give you an example. For example, when you are praying salah, if Allah allows you to follow sunnah, you're trying to leave the sins, you're aware of good and bad, then alongside that, then there's another danger that arises, that person, he starts to look down at other people, he starts to belittle other people. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah? When a person's practicing, then after practice starts, this second issue comes. So we need to be careful that if Allah's given you status, is saving you from sin, saving you from wrong, and he's making you do good actions, at that time, this point we need to be very careful of. This emotion, this thinking, this mindset, this waswasa, negative thought that is born inside a person. Oh, I'm better than this person. Oh, even if you aren't, but your actions demonstrate you think you are better than that person. You'll look down at the person, you'll treat him in a lower way. One person starts to pray salah, he's practicing. The person who doesn't pray salah maybe does some dirty actions. It's regular in our society. Nobody will even look at him twice. The sinful person. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah, oh, he's dirty, impure, let's not talk to him. You won't even give him a lift in your car. Oh, he'll smell of alcohol from his mouth. Why should I give him a lift? We think like this, isn't it? Yeah? Every man will dislike that person. That I don't want to be sat next to him. They'll say bad for him, bad to him. They won't consider him as a good person. But here, the lesson that, alhamdulillah, we are given in Islam, this hadith gives us a lesson that what you are doing, disliking that person, in reality, why are you disliking that person? Why do you think he's a bad person? You think he's a lower status person? And you dislike him or hate him for this reason, that you are pious and you are practicing and you think you're better? So inside you, you've got kibar, pride. So when you've got pride, you are worse than that person. In reality, you are lower than that person. You are the worst from the people because of your pride. So this is a maqam that a person gets to, what we need to think about and ponder over, that this is a very dangerous sickness of the batin, of the inner state of the human being. And if a person in this way continues, then never should the insan never look at another person and consider that person is lower than you. Never do this. Be very careful of this point. Very careful this point. Never ever in your life look at any other human being and consider him lower than you, and that you're better than that person. We, our reflection of our iman, and to get to the good point when we die, the basis that we've given is that good person is that person who, whilst he's dying, he's a good person. He's the good person. And when he's departing this world, forget, we don't know about today's position or tomorrow. This is a great wali of Allah, I can't remember his name. He had hundreds of thousands of murid students in the world. He was a great sheikh, teacher, can't remember his name. And he used to remain in journey, on a journey. And he was very famous, well known from the mashaykh, from the walis of Allah. And his name was famous. He had murid students around the world. Allah gave him high status. So sometimes a little light sort of thought would cross his mind. Insan, human being. And what happened was, from Allah Ta'ala, then a test gripped him, you could say, a test. There was a very beautiful woman, Christian. At that time, there was a lot of Christians in that area that he was in. He was on a journey. And she was herding her animals, like people herd their goats. She had swine and other animals. And this is what I said, Allah Ta'ala can change the hearts. Never trust your heart that it will always stay strong. Today's condition, never say that you are wali Allah, because I'm strong and I'm like this and I will stay like this. Never. That even if you're dirty and pure, then you should be even then distressed that, no, I need to be better than this. So this sheikh, when he saw that woman, then his heart suddenly fluctuated and he had attraction for her. And that lust desire increased, and Allah knows what he started to see and the attraction. Then he had so much ishq and love for the woman, he said that, oh, I can't leave this person. Yeah, and he was immersed in her attraction. And his special students say, Hazrat, Sheikh, that you can't marry her, she's a disbeliever, this woman. He said, no, I ask her, I want to marry her, he said. So this is how you have to be careful in life, brothers, that never be full of confidence that your iman, that it is now, will be constant. Whoever will save you, the Sharia and the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ will save you always. That the things that the Prophet of Allah ﷺ has told us to, he's prohibited, don't go near those things. That if the Prophet ﷺ said that this woman is a ghair mahram, she's not permissible for you, don't lift your eyes and look at her. Oh no, I'm pious, she's not going to say anything to me, she's like my daughter, she's like my granddaughter, I'm old now. But if the Prophet ﷺ has made a law, then this means don't be confident and think I'm fine and you break that law. No. Today that's what happens in our society, that alhamdulillah we think we're pious, we're practicing, we're religious, and then sometimes we'll watch the TV, we'll watch the screen on our phone, we'll look at pictures, we'll look at adverts, even the adverts. These drag a person because shaitan, he is running through our veins. He knows how to inject us with the poison of this sin. And a person who's worked hard, he's prayed in the path of Allah to become pious, he falls into that trap. Just because he looked a glimpse with his eyes towards the prohibited thing. Allah says, if you are my servant and slave, why are you looking at ghair mahram? Especially those who say, Allah, Allah, they should lower their eyes. Always keep your gaze down. Don't look around at the things that are not permissible. The shame for a man is the lowered gaze. And the shame for a woman is her hidden face. Look at the difference. A man, his shame is to lower the gaze. The woman's shame is to hide the face, the glamour. And we walk around lifting our eyes, looking at ghair mahrams. So this sheikh, he said, oh, I'm not going to move from here. And he arrived to that woman. And he said, I want to marry you. He's seen this woman, he's attracted. She said, how can I marry you? I am a Christian, you're a Muslim. She said to him, I can't marry you. Yes, but if you really love me, have much attraction for me, then what you need to do is become a Christian, she said to him. Become a Christian. And then he said, if I become Christian, will you marry me? She said, yes, my father's a vicar. Imagine what she's saying here. So he said, okay, I want to marry you. She said, if you want to marry me, then our principles, our religion, Christianity, you'll have to follow them. He said, no problem. See how his iman evaporated into thin air. Yes, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's hadith. This is the hadith, that the human being should never trust himself. You have to focus on your death, that I want to be the same. Like today you may have a good appearance, and that will I be like this tomorrow? Every moment, every hour for the believer can change and fluctuate. And your footsteps may not be the same every time. Always focus on the death, because the sins come as a barrier for the hereafter. Allah says in the Quran that you are tested with your family, wealth, family, wife and children. These are the tests and the challenges that stop you from dying with iman. They are a challenge. And Allah Ta'ala says that that person who succeeds through the trials and the challenges of the world and saves his faith and he passes with the faith, then from Allah he will give him ajrun azeem, great reward. Great reward. You understand what I'm saying? Okay, so he said, I want to marry you, girl. His murids, his students are crying, shrieking. Said, Sheikh, what are you doing? He said, no, I can't leave this woman. I'm attracted to her. I have love for her. So what was the conclusion? That Wali Allah, Shaykh, he was a teacher, and the people saw him in that situation, that he, you know, for example, he had the cross over his neck, a chain, and he had the stuff, and he was herding the pigs. That was his result. So obviously the students were sincere, they were good students, and they thought, what shall we do? They were so distressed in the night, in the same khanqah of the Shaykh. He had many khanqahs around the world. They used to cry, plead, Allah save our Shaykh, Ya Allah save our Shaykh, Ya Allah bring him back, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was a testing time, challenging time. Eventually what happened was that the murids, the students' du'as, their sighs, their crying, Allah heard. Then suddenly he understood. That person who was the friend of Allah, he said, where am I? He suddenly thought that, because suddenly that ghost, that idol came out of him, then he thought, what am I doing here? Where have I got to? And he picked everything, took his clothes off, he threw them, the cross, took the chain off his neck, there was a river there, and he jumped into that river. And his students, they had kashf, inspiration, that our Shaykh, mashallah, Allah has given his fadl and grace. So they took their libas, they arrived already to that river before he did, the students, with his libas. Soon as he came out the river, he washed himself, bathed the libas, the imama, the turban, and the sunnah libas. And then, alhamdulillah, he said, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. Then he arrived to the khanqah, to his institute with his students. So what's the meaning of all of this event that took place? The meaning that we need to draw from here is that the human being, the believer, the real success guarantee, don't think and trust your deeds today. Rather focus on the time when you're going to be your final day, your death, that will I be the same at that time? Look, one companion came to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Hazrat Jabir Ibn Sulaym radiyallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him. And at that time, that he wasn't a companion at that time, so he came to meet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He wasn't a Muslim believer at that time. And he came, he presented himself. He didn't even know how to say salam. And he said, I've heard the Prophet, he teaches people, he said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam smiled. I said, this is not the tariqa of salam. Rather say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. He taught him that. So this is also a hadith. There are many hadith that come from this hadith. And that we are very disrespectful. We say, Assalamu alaikum, salam. We say to people, salam. We made weird words, you know, just a shortened, salam ji, we say to people, to brothers, salam, salam. The five times, Assalamu alaikum. Rather, this kalima is so great. There's so much reward the human being gets, the thawab, the reward that we cannot imagine from just the greeting. The person who gives the greeting and the one who gives the response to the greeting. So always be careful when you say salam, then in your heart think that a very great treasure I have got, Allah has given me an opportunity. You're saying to a brother, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You got the opportunity from Allah. And this hadith has a very great link with the salam, because look at the glory of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He started with this kalima, and the connection of this hadith that's coming in my mind is very deep meaning of this hadith. Very deep meaning. So he came. And the Holy Prophet ﷺ said, are you the Prophet of Allah? He said, yes, I'm the Prophet of Allah. He said, can you advise me something? And the Prophet ﷺ invited him towards iman and faith and belief. And then he gave advice, which is for the whole ummah. When he's advising one sahabi, he's advising the whole nation of believers. So he said that, remember this, Sulim. He said, I advise you that never say bad to anybody. Subhanallah. This is an Arabic word. Many meanings of bad come out. He said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, don't swear to anybody. Don't raise defects in someone. Don't point the defects out from somebody. Don't speak to or call out somebody with bad words. Don't give a bad title. These are all meanings of don't say bad to anybody. These are all different meanings of that. Yeah, this is our deen, Islam. Yes, whoever generates this, then he is a wali Allah who practices like this. Is you are developing your akhlaq, your conduct, your manners. In Ramadan, this is the condition of fast, that the fast that we're keeping is like is hanging in the balance there, that if you act improperly during the fast, then you will break or spoil the fast if you act incorrectly. So don't spoil your fast with the bad actions. So what's that connection of the fast with our character? First, what does bad mean? bad. That don't, so the Prophet ﷺ said that when you say bad to someone, due to his qualities, you consider him lower than you, you belittle him, or you point defects, oh, he sells alcohol, oh, he doesn't pray salah, oh, she does bad actions, oh, she's got no shame, she's got no modesty. This is common in our society, lot pointing at people. Rather, more than the quality of that person, more than that, we look at their defects. Rather than the good qualities of the human being, rather we look at their defects and their sins. And we point them out, highlight them. And for this reason, that human being, he then comes out of society, he detaches himself from society, and he goes more towards bad and sin and darkness, because he's being criticized. So what a great solution that Allah Ta'ala has given to this, that even if it's the most dirty, sinful person, but there'll be one place where no one will think you're bad and you'll be considered good. There'll be a place. There will only be one place. What is that? The place, the company of the Wali Allah. He won't say bad to you. Yes? His eyes will never look at the defects in the person. Look, he'll look at your good qualities, your good attributes. If a person comes dirty, sinful, it's always a precious pearl. If I dust him down, he will sparkle in society. SubhanAllah. Yes? If you go to people in the world, they look at what? They look at his sins and his attributes and his physical actions, those defects that have been developed due to society, due to some reason. So how will he improve that person if you look down at the person and criticize that person? You'll go to the masjid, they'll swear at him, Imam Sahib will swear at him, criticize him, and the people in the masjid, Musalli, will say, oh, what are you, look at you, and his heart will break. I'm just telling you, normal. Many people, they get put off from Islam, from the deen, because of the criticism. But when they go and put the hand in the Wali Allah's hand, SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah, then that pearl, the Wali Allah, he shines it, and he dusts it down, that the people in the world start to say, Assalamu alaikum to that person, because he's taken the defects that he's washed him, purified him. Do you understand? Yes. So that, look, salam, to give greeting, what a great teaching. The Holy Prophet doesn't say salam properly. He said it wrong. Because in salam, the greeting, there's a quality that a person, when he says it loudly, clearly, to that person who he thinks is good. You understand what I'm saying? You will give a loud, clear greeting to someone you think good. But if you don't like somebody, when you say, oh, to that person, oh, what's the point of saying salam to him? He says, oh, how are you doing? All right? And just say that and just move away from that person. But salam, Islam, our deen teaches us that when with the depth of your heart you say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, he will think that, oh, he's a good person. That's why he says it. And he's testifying with his salam that this person is good. You understand my point? So, doesn't matter what human beings in front of you, remember this. What type of peeping person confronts you, and you should consider he's good. How? When you address him and speak to him, and when you give him du'as and rahmah, then you will pull on that person's heart. You'll invite him. Oh, he's not, but he's not giving salam to me nicely. He's looking at my sins. So don't look at the defects of a person, at the downfall. Look at the person himself. Look at the person. That is such a person that, okay, he's got some dirt, impurities, but he can get rid of that as well. And you are such a human being that good things will come onto you. You're pious yourself, but they can also come out from you as well. Do you understand my point? So his sins can be removed and your good deeds can also be removed. So the situation could flip upside down. It could be at the time of death. Then your glowing, shining good deeds could be eradicated, and maybe at the time of death, that those good things of yours could come onto that person. So who becomes better at that time? Who's better at that time? That person who's impure right now. Who could be better? So always keep an emotion inside you. If you have got iman and your batin's good, your inner state's good and your akhlaq is good, you should have an emotion always inside you that consider everyone around you better than you. Consider everyone around you better than you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes, every person around you, consider they are better than you. Because what's the point here? Because you will realize at that time when you are dying, then this is the warning in this hadith, that at the time of death you will realize how this person is departing. That's why the awliya Allah, the friends of Allah, always they do dua to Allah for the time of death. Husne khatama. Yes, they will receive everyone who comes to them to meet them, that he's better than me. And they say this from the depths of their heart, they feel this. It's a heart condition, that inside the heart you have this emotion, that your within should feel. It's not fake. It's not fake. Rather, genuinely you consider that you are worse than everyone else and that others are better than you. Genuinely you should feel this. Genuinely. When in the beginning days, when I used to go to my sheikh, when I arrived to my sheikh's gatherings, I was amazed that the people there, such people used to come there, students used to come and others. And when they used to see the character of my sheikh, Hazrat Sahib, they were amazed to this extent that even if a person came to Hazrat Sahib, for example, and even if it was a Shia or different sect, and people maybe thought bad of them at that time. You know, there are some people who are not practicing correct and they put their stone on the ground. You know how they do sajda on the stone or the tablet. There are some people like that. So at that time, once a person told him off, that why are you coming here? Why do you come here? Go somewhere else. You got some other masjid. Go and pray there. And then Hazrat Sahib was sat there, my sheikh, and Hazrat Sahib said, he hinted to him, that tell him, what is he saying to you? That if you don't like him here, then you leave here and let him pray here, Hazrat Sahib said. You leave here. In other words, look at this akhlaq. And I saw this with my eyes, that his aqeedah, his belief and practice changed and improved that person with time. Subhanallah. So what's the quality of the Wali Allah? That he has a great character with his akhlaq within the Wali Allah, that such preparation he's done of his batin and the hereafter, and this is a great preparation for the hereafter, that when you have a 100% guarantee that person that he will die with iman when he has this emotion, because he never looks at anyone else's defects and they never think that anyone's worse than them. They always think that others are better. So when you consider that you're worse from everybody else around you in society, then you'll have no pride. You'll say, my prayer is not good, his prayer is the best. And we say that, oh, I know how to pray salah, he doesn't even know how to pray salah, alhamdulillah, we criticize others. Yeah, he doesn't know how to recite. And right in the beginning days, I remember, even then I was learning the deen, and I hadn't come towards knowledge at that time. Just initial days, and the other, Allah Ta'ala had given me the other ilm. So I didn't know how to recite Quran that well, I didn't have the ilm of the Quran that much. And somebody stood me to for salah, and I don't come forward to lead salah anyway. I had to lead the salah. At that time there was a qari sahab there, I won't say you his name. And he had tajweed, technical. It's good to learn tajweed, how to recite the grammar. So I read the Quran, and obviously it wasn't according to his standard, the Quran, when I read. Maybe it's a little bit of difference, tajweed, some error or something not correct. So after salah, he said, you know, you read namaz wrong. He said, salah wrong. I said, is it? I said, I'm sorry. I just read the salah correctly. It was fine. So there's a way of saying, isn't it? There's a way of explaining that, for example, you're nothing. You don't even know how to lead the salah. That was his meaning, isn't it, really? That you don't. So I said, look, I was okay. I'll try, inshallah, to improve it. I will, inshallah, try. Because I know this is how much I know. This is the knowledge I have at the moment. So this is the point here. So where is he? And where's the other person? So when a person, a human being, doesn't have humility and humbleness, if you don't have humility and simplicity, then he's the most wretched person, that person. Never should an individual who's a real wali Allah, a pious person, who's following the path of deen, never ever will he think and have confidence on his own actions. He'll never be proud of his own deeds. He'll think himself lower than everyone else. Rather, Hazrat Mujaddad, rahimahullah, he stated that I am worse than the disbelievers and the zindiq and the fasiqs. And if he says that, Mujaddad al-Afthani, the great sheikh, then what's he in reality saying? That's his emotions in reality. Genuinely, if he was he's saying this. He's being careful. And it's not reality, but he's really also, it's not the reality, but he's saying that my deeds and my feelings and my emotions tell me that maybe tomorrow that this person who's worse than me will die in a better way and I will be worse than him. So he couldn't give a guarantee. In reality, he's not saying that the disbeliever is better than me, he doesn't pray and I pray and the person who doesn't pray is better than me. Do you understand? There's a difference here. There's a difference here. Don't think that the person who doesn't pray salah, he's better than you or etc. Yes, a person who doesn't practice Islam, he's better. But he's saying it that I am feeling within that Allah, when I die tomorrow, maybe he will be better than me and I will be below him. So there's no guarantee. So for this reason, in my eyesight, my feeling right now, that he is kabira and I am sagira. That Allah Ta'ala, I consider myself, please Allah, lower myself in front of other people. That even the other people who don't believe, they seem higher than me, because the real end at the time of death, that will be based on the test at that time. When I'm leaving, that I need to recite the kalam at the time of death. Do I have iman at that time? So my brothers, my colleagues, the preparation we should do is not for today. We should be focusing at that day and time when we'll be departing from this world. And for that, the best preparation, the greatest preparation for your death is that never consider somebody lower than you. That, for example, if there's a sinful person next to you, someone who is not pious, if he's asking you for help, assistance, and then you should treat him nicely. Don't belittle him. Rather treat him in a way better than you would treat yourself. Better than that. And people really say to me, oh, praise Allah. Why don't you praise Allah, you waste of time person, you sinful person. So when you speak to him like that, do you think he's going to start practicing that person? Never ever. If you love him, seat him down, give him respect, regard, and that person will think that this man is respecting me so much, then he'll start loving you. That person will start loving you and respecting you. Yes, and he'll come close to you and he'll have confidence in you and his life will change and he'll improve. Not one. In my life, many people like this, I've seen them change, alhamdulillah. Many people. I'm a dirty person. I'm not clean. There's nothing special in me. But in the company of Hazrat Sahab, my Sheikh, I learned these principles that now, alhamdulillah, I love every person. I don't put enmity in my heart for anyone. I don't consider anyone lower than me. And yes, alhamdulillah, if somebody has defects, he's got problems, then I love that person more to draw that person near to me. That's what I've learned. Not to reject that person, not to throw him away to the side, to look after him, embrace him, and polish him, improve him, polish him, improve him. Do you understand what I'm saying? The Holy Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the battle of Khaybar, that was the time. Khaybar, and the clash had started with those who were in opposition. So at that time, it was a big battle. Khaybar, historically, and in this, at that time, the Yahud, they used to live there in the surroundings, and there was a shepherd there. And he was innocent, he was just a worker of a Yahudi, and he was shepherding the goats and the animals. So whilst he was shepherding and herding, he saw the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he saw how the Sahaba sat with respect, they lowered their necks with respect. The battle had taken place. He said, what kind of king is this? Yeah, there were kings at that time, other kings, innit? And he hadn't seen this before. And that Jew shepherd, he said, what sort of guide is this? The king, that those kings, they forced their ministers to submit. And this guide, that his followers are out of humility, they lowered their necks and they're humble, subhanallah. So he stated that the Wali Allah, it's not that he doesn't force you, respect me. Rather, your heart is forced and submit and to respect him. To respect him. So the Wali Allah does say, pick up my shoes, do this for me, open the door for me, or do this, that for me, and clean my car, polish my car, and serve me, or do this and that, X, Y, Z. Never, ever, that not even an atom's weight of desire will be in the Wali Allah. But if their heart is coming, I want to do this, student wants to serve his teacher, this is the real effect. This is adab and respect and serving. So when a student serves his teacher with love and emotion and sincerity, do you understand? Because his heart feels like that. Just like when you pray salah, do sujood, prostration, then you say, I feel like in my heart I want to serve my sheikh and help my teacher. Do you understand what I'm saying? So these are those emotions and feelings. Why? Because that person, he considers that the other human being is better than me. He doesn't want anyone to pick his shoes and serve him. So the makhluk, then they desire, the human beings around the teacher, that we want to help this teacher, enable him. But the teacher says by force, the students should serve him. The Wali Allah is the biggest king of his time. Remember this. The Wali Allah, he's the biggest king of the time. And the students, they say themselves, that Hazrat, please, we'll do everything ourselves. You don't do anything. And when people see from outside, oh, look at his shirk, the teacher's making the students do shirk, and oh, he makes the students pick up his shoes and serve him, etc. Do you understand? From the outside the circle, people looking in. Why? Because they don't know the feeling of the heart. That ask the person who's picking up the shoes, the student, how he's feeling at that time when he's serving the Wali Allah. A person used to come, may Allah elevate his status, give him a higher daraja. Mu'min Sahab used to come, he was a scholar. And mashallah, I saw him become a wali. He used to come to Randall Street Masjid, and mashallah, he was a dangerous alim. He was a very proud scholar. He was from the Rahmaniyya Khandan family, and he was a muqarrar speaker at a knowledge, high-level family. But there was ghurur. He had proud of his knowledge. And I used to pray salat there, but alhamdulillah, he didn't even used to look towards me. But I used to like him. So where your heart gets connected, and I wasn't looking at his attributes or his actions, I was looking at his heart, him as a person. Yes, I wasn't connected to his ilm, but I liked him as a person. Yes, I thought this person, that he's got qualities. If I take off the defects, then polish him, he's a good man. But he won't come, he's got a lot of pride, he won't come towards me. I knew that because he had a lot of fakhr and pride on his ilm, knowledge. And he sat in the corner. I said, fine, Allah, I've made the desire, Allah, you fulfill my desire that he improves. Khair, the scene changes, alhamdulillah, with time. The scene changes. Muhabbat, love, brings its color and effect. Always love will give the result. If you love someone, definitely the response will come from that person. Definitely the color of the love will give the response. So khair, he used to give speech, I used to pray salah and leave from there, from the masjid. Then somebody told him that he's a very good person. So he just approached him, but you have to make a little bit of movement. So one day he came and shook my hand. And your hand, when it comes into the hand of the Shaykh, then subhanAllah, everything takes place. So this, then I'll tell you the next effect after that. He's not here. He's not present, but always he's with me, alhamdulillah now. Always. Because he took my hand. So then his emotion changed in the masjid. He used to come from Randall Masjid. He used to walk behind me. And I saw him running after me up to my home. That's the fortune change. And I used to walk fast because, so that he should breathe more heavily. Yes. And he told me this after me, that he was sick and he was had asthma and he passed away. But his breath used to increase. Then I taught him how to be a bit desperate and how he used to run off. Because his love increased. The yearning and the longing increased. One night he came to my khanka. And then how did the love increase? That Ramadan, the remaining nights, he had a special attendant. Khadim, I've forgotten his name now, the scholar's attendant. Iqbal Pandya, it was a special attendant he had of that scholar. So he used to use him for his work. One day I saw that I was in itikaf, and this scholar, it was a night time, and you could hear someone reading Quran lightly, and I called one of our colleagues and said, who's this reciting Quran? He said, this is that some new person we can see here. He's reading Quran. I said, new person? I said, where? And I looked, I moved the curtain back, and I saw that Mulana Momin Sahib was sat there, the same scholar. See that? So then I put the curtain away. I thought maybe by chance he just arrived to the masjid. But the fire of love was inside him. Now his ilm, knowledge is diminishing, and his love is overtaking him. And his inner qualities, the kibr, the pride, is being lost. And then he starts to see other people as better than him. This is how change. Two examples I can show you. I've seen both sides of that person. So I didn't call him, I didn't speak to him to this extent that he came the night. One day he requested, he kept coming, and my special attendant there, he requested that, Hazrat, just give me 5 minutes of meeting with Hazrat Sahib. Just give me 2 minutes with Hazrat Sahib. He requested that scholar. I just want to see Sheikh Sahib. So maybe at that time I was not in itikaf, I was in my room upstairs in my hujra, and I said, call him. And then he came. And that emotion, he came, it was just me and him. He came and sat down. After sitting down, he cried. And then he took his topi off. And I was just sat there. And he dragged both of my legs forward and he started to kiss. This was his emotion at that time. I'm telling you his emotion. And I got scared. I thought, what's going on here? That, oh, this is Janoon, mad. Then, alhamdulillah, I controlled him. I said, look, control yourself. And he was crying and his tears fell on my legs. His tears. And then he said to me, please accept me as your student. He requested me, pleaded, please give me sabak, lesson. I said, you're already a scholar, you've got lesson. He said, no, I want to be your student. Please, then I gave him bath and I taught him the sabak. Now go beyond that. Then he would come regularly, it would meet me, get lessons from me. Alhamdulillah, he got lots of lessons from me. Asbaq, I gave him ijazah, I gave him khilafat, he became a deputy. Look where he reached. And he changed so much humility came to him that mashallah, scholar, he wasn't like the scholar of pride, but Pandya, his attendant will tell you. Because he had changed so much, and his tariqah, his method had changed. So he would go to Preston, and he would run from Preston when he'd be on a journey to join the halakha, the gathering, our majlis. He would run. He'd be desperate to come and join the gathering. And then I saw beyond that how his improvement, that when I would leave, maybe you lot seen this, that he would run outside first, when I would leave the masjid in front of everybody. Yeah, there'd be a lot of rush, you know, at the end of Zakariya Masjid, at the end of Masjid. He would purposely, thousands of people, he would go in front of them, and he would take my slippers and shoes, and he'd press them to his face, in front of people. Yes, so Saghira to Kabira, imagine his status now. For not due to the reason that he's picking up my shoes or kissing them, or he immersed himself with Allah's love and he destroyed his desires within. He said, I'm nothing. Everything depends on your time of your death. I'm not a scholar. I'm not alim. I'm not better than other people. It's not my knowledge. Everything depends on the time of your death. Will you have the same iman? Allah, please allow me to die that I can pass away with faith. When you have developed this feeling inside, this yearning, and a person starts to be scared from hypocrisy and not having iman at the time of death, then he will always be ready to reject the evil and the sins, because his nafs and his desires, he's crushed them. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is the learning. So, that person who's the shepherd, the Jew, at the time of the Battle of Khaybar, he was herding the goats. Go back to the hadith. He said, look at this king, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because that's where kingdom reached. He said, I've seen a lot of kings, so-called in the world, and they force the people to bow. But these, the Sahaba, they themselves are submitting in front of the Prophet. He said, let me go and say salam to this king. I've heard that a king has come, a new king in the kingdom, in the Arab state. So that Jew, he was a black Jew, Habshi. There's nothing wrong with being black or Habshi. MashaAllah, he was the person who lived in that region. So they were made slaves, unfortunately, at that time. And the black people at that time were looked down upon, unfortunately. Obviously, he was a shepherd. He had dirty clothes. They had no water to have a bath with, and the smell. We have people who maybe have people in our countries. They have slaves. They're not slaves, but they have servants. They look after the animals, etc. So how does Chaudhry Sahib look? They have their kurta, their clothes, and they put their servants on the floor, and they sit on their beds and drink and smoke the. But Islam doesn't teach this, because our deen is what the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us, how to treat everyone equally. So this is what we need to learn, Islam. If we don't have this humility inside us, then we're nothing at all. We are just living a life of luxury and comfort. Then you should become like a shepherd or a goat herder yourself, and then you'll get the wilayat. So we need to compare. Yes, so get the anger out from the tip of your nose and learn humility, learn how to forgive people and bring respect of other people into your heart, and you'll become a great wali and friend of Allah. But to get this, you have to have the company of the sheikh and do that ibadah to become a true humble person. You can't learn humility from a book. You can't learn from a dalul ulum. One moment in the company of the wali Allah, one second in the company of a pious person with a good intention will make you the good human being with humility and humble. With the right niyyah you should be sitting. No world desire, no desire to earn money, just a desire, want to become good. With this intention, if you take the hand of a sheikh, immediately that second you become wali Allah. Immediately that second. Yes, because this is the sheikh, he injects the good into you. Even then, you shouldn't be hopeful. You should keep fighting the desires inside you so that the good is maintained. Don't reject the path. No. Have courage and determination to practice alhamdulillah. And then inshallah you'll graduate. So keep your death and the hereafter in front of you always. That the world that's going to depart and leave you, why are you running after the world? Why are you running after the dunya that's going to leave you to spoil your hereafter? Anyway, going back to that shepherd, he said, he went and sat in front. And where he sat, which king was in front of him? That he was the real king, because the king, the Prophet Muhammad, he started his teachings with the most poorest and the miskeen and the people who lived the life of poverty. He started with them. He said, what is it? How comes you've come here? What is you'd like? Exactly, I saw this with my sheikh, my hazrat, my teacher. In my life, all the years I spent in the company of my teacher, I swear by Allah, I can say that Hazrat Sahib's every second, every breath, every footstep was in imitation of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, my teacher. His akhlaq, conduct, manners, sitting, walking, talking to people. And this is the greatest asset of a human being, how you treat other human beings. Even if you're sat, he will have sat with big walis of Allah, mufti, scholars, you will have seen all of this in your life. But if only you could see that a wali Allah, a true wali, what you get from him, you'll see the big difference. Big difference. That he will meet you on that level, he will come down to your level. Whatever level you're at, whatever type of human being meets him, he will be on that level. He will consider that he is at that level. He will sit you down with yourself, he will feed you, give you food, share with you. Not out of formality, because inside him he feels that this man who's come to meet me is better than me. Tomorrow he will be better than me, and I'll be worse. Maybe I will love a woman and run after a lady, and I'll change my libas, and what will happen to me at the time of my death? Do you understand what I'm saying? Well, we've discussed it. So will you be angry with a person who's a sinful, etc.? No, I'll be worrying about myself. That how will I die? What will be my mind at that time? So the Holy Prophet ﷺ's merciful glance fell upon that shepherd. And he said, what do you want? Yeah, just like my Hazrat Sahib, whenever he's seen a gathering, a new person, what is it you'd like? What have you come for? What can I do for you? That's a very high statement that only that person can ask who knows he can give something to that person. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's a great statement to say. What can I do for you? If you understand, then it's a great point if you understand what I'm saying. So when someone asks me, and I say to them, when he asked me, Hazrat Sahib, what can I do for you? What would you like? I said, I want Allah. I said, when I met my Sheikh. And that's why you are the wasila, you are the means for me to get to Allah. He said, okay, fine, sit down. So this desire depends on your own individual desire. What do you want to get to? But the wali Allah will never make you feel low. Whatever you've come to attain, he will never delay in teaching you and giving you good. The wali Allah, the sheikh. Do you understand what I'm saying? So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is his sunnah. That what do you want? He asked that shepherd. He said, I don't really want anything. You are the king, he said. He said, I am the king, yes. But what is it you want? He said that, what do you do with the people? What is it you do? What? How do you become a king? What do you do? He said, come closer to me. He said, closer? He said, I'm dirty, I'm smelling, you are the king. He said, no problem, you can come closer to me. The Prophet ﷺ said to him. I'm just explaining the hadith in my style to you. So this is the meaning of the hadith. So he came forward. And first he was amazed and dismayed that this is such a great thing. The king is saying to me, come closer. Until today, no one's given me the time of the day. They've not even let me sit next to me, with them. I'm a shepherd and I get pushed and shoved around. And this king, the Sardari, has called me to come closer to him. I'm honored. What is this? What do you say? What do you teach people? What's your message? He said, I don't say anything. I just say Allah is one. And believe in Allah. He said, is that all you teach people? I said, nothing else, said the Prophet ﷺ. He was amazed. He was thinking that these people who sat with you, your students, do they all believe the same? He said, yes, they believe the same. And they said, Allah is one. We'll believe in Allah. And that we won't believe in Allah and anyone else apart from Allah. We won't prostrate to anyone else. This is what they believe. So whenever you give da'wah to someone, you propagate the deen, invite someone, whether he's Muslim or non-Muslim. You have to give da'wah to Muslims as well nowadays. Yes, because the iman is weak. How should you? Give them always da'wah with tawheed, the oneness of Allah. Because it's all about the oneness of Allah. That's the argument at the end of the day. That's the argument. That give them da'wah based on tawheed. Bring them out of shirk. Everyone believes in Allah. Everyone, even the Hindu believes in Allah, the Sikh believes in Allah, all believe, even the Christians believe, the Christians, different types of sects, and we also believe, but the person who mixes others with Allah, then they all on the same playing field. So a Muslim always has to say La Sharik first, that your idols inside you, even though you're a Muslim, you have to break the idols inside, the Muslim has to become a Muslim. You understand what I'm saying? He has to break the idols. So Allah's Nabi gave him the da'wah of wahdaniyat, oneness of Allah. And he said, okay, I'll say what you say. So now they're doing the transaction of iman. Transaction of iman. So this is the transaction of iman, the bargain of iman. That even you, look, when you go to a sheikh, a teacher, he tells you to recite kalima. So then is the transaction of iman taking place at that time. The sheikh says to you that I will give you Jannah. I will teach you and take you to paradise. So what are you going to do? And the student, you will have to leave X, Y, Z. It's a contract that Allah has given this verse in the Quran, Surah Mumtahana. The O Prophet of Allah, the believing women will come to you as soon as they promise to you the conditions. Then what's the hukam? The order of Allah to the Holy Prophet, that believers become so high, they raise your hands to Allah and pray for that person. Because he's made a contract with Allah. This surah, this verse, I really like it, Surah Mumtahana. Yes, I raise your hands, O my Nabi. Allah says, that person is on tawbah. So that person who becomes so great, who comes with the sins, and the sheikh, he makes him do tawbah, repent, he washes away sins, and he promises this, a contract that's being sealed at that time. Because the sheikh, he's firm on his contract. And who goes back and does a U-turn, the student. So how will you get the Jannah, paradise? So the Prophet ﷺ said, okay, shepherd, same contract. He said, okay, the shepherd said, okay, I come into belief. I do tawbah. I repent. What will I get though in exchange? And he said, what will I get in exchange? And the Prophet ﷺ said, you will get paradise. You will get the hereafter. And right now will be announced, the Shaykh says to the student, right now will be announced, student, your sins are forgiven. And the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will raise your hands, his hands for you. So is there anyone here next to me? He says, please let me do tawbah if you have the niyyah. These three rewards you'll get straight away. Any student right now who says, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in Medina in Ramadan will raise his hands for you and do dua for you, number one. Yes, and you will arrive to Medina. Number one, his hands will raise. When he raises his hands, Allah says, "Inna la ghafoor, I will forgive all of the sins, Rahim, and I won't waste his sins. I'll transform all his sins into good deeds." You'll get that right away now. Even if you sitting here do tawbah. How easy is Islam, and how close is Jannah, paradise, and how much our desires takes us far from us. So where will we reach? Never will he come, a person that, oh, he'll leave it till next Ramadan, I'll do after Hajj, Tawbah, leave after this, and I'll do it again, then I'll keep the beard, I'll do Tawbah after that. Allahu Akbar, delaying. No, he doesn't know that Jahannam is there. So the person who does Tawbah repents, then he should do it like a human being, that the Habshi, the shepherd, he was doing Tawbah. That's how he became the Sahabi then, isn't it? Murid, student. Yeah, he washed that, for example, a person, he repents, and then he puts the hand towards the hand of the teacher, then he does a U-turn, goes back towards the dunya, and then there's a big punishment for that. Whose fault is that? The Shaykh? No. Today, if you sell yourself here, shaitan will make you do something else, then how will you die with iman? So then, the conclusion is wrong, isn't it? Mumin sahab, did he sell? Did he U-turn? No, the promise he made until death, he was constant and steadfast on his promise. Not due to his ilm did he depart. Not due to his hips, he went successfully for this reason. Alhamdulillah, into paradise. This is my iman, he says this. So the verse I read yesterday, wasbatu. Fasbatu, what it was after that? Wadhkurullah kathira, la'alakum tuflihun. If you want success, take the hand of a teacher, a guide, do tawbah, repent, be steadfast, constant, and do dhikr kathir. Allah says, I'll make you successful. I'll make you successful. So, this is you who breaks that relationship, that contract. The student, oh, I can't do this, too hard for me, let me do this. It's your choice. That is that contract you're breaking. I didn't break the contract. Do you understand what I'm saying? So the Habshi, the shepherd, he said, okay, tell me what to do. Fine. I agree the condition. He said, what will I get in exchange? He said, the Prophet ﷺ said, Allah, look at the statement, that you will be my brother. Allahu Akbar. So what's left after that? He said, how? I'll be your brother. The Prophet ﷺ said, yes. That I will embrace you. And I will have love for you. He said, me? I am black. I'm smelling. I'm a shepherd. You will embrace me. Prophet ﷺ said, I embrace you. We recite the kalima. So great a reward he got, tell me. Imamul Anbiya is embracing him. That one moment before, he was stood on the banks of hell because he didn't have iman. And then subhanallah, the shirk evaporated, didn't it? The sins evaporated. Why? Because he arrived to the sohbat of the sheikh, the teacher. And that's where a person is valued and appreciated. Every minute. So he said, okay, let me recite. So the Prophet ﷺ taught him the kalima. He said, what do I do now? The Prophet ﷺ says, what are you going to do now? That first I made the promise, let me fulfill that. Come and embrace me first. Embrace me. Allahu Akbar. So he cried and he was so emotional. He said, what's the order for me? The Prophet ﷺ said, no order. That in Islam, pray salah 5 times a day. You can't pray, you're going to have no time for salah. So in Islam, keep the fast. And there's no fast, so where will you keep the fast? And Islam, you have to do hajj. And there's no hajj, you don't have no money, you won't go on hajj. So there's nothing. Just one thing right now that you can do is that Allah Ta'ala has given us this expedition and a clash, and you can take part in that and you'll become successful. And this is the action that if you can do it right now. He said, fine, no problem, I'll do that. And then what happened? He said, then there are two parts in Islam. Those who are successful, they'll go into paradise. And the one who's successful, and he passes away in that way, Allah Ta'ala elevates him. The person who dies, Allah Ta'ala gives him a place in Jannah. He's shaheed. He said, okay, fine, then give me this. And then he didn't pray salah, no sajda up to that time, no prostration. Just all he did was tawbah, repented, came into the deen. Do you understand what I'm saying? Then he went, he took part, alhamdulillah, it was in his destiny. And the battle ended. There were various shaheed and martyrs after that. The Sahaba Ikram noble companions were looking for different people, calling people, looking at people. And then there was one person's body they couldn't recognize. They said, they're asking everyone, whose body is this? Whose body is this? The Holy Prophet ﷺ heard that. What's the point? What's the issue? What's the quarrel? They said, one man, we can't recognize him. He's shaheed and we can't recognize who he is. The Prophet ﷺ said, I recognize him. I recognize him. He said it from there. You won't recognize him. I recognize him. So today, if he's recognized, will he not be recognized on the day of judgment? Will he not intercede for him? Will he not give him water from the pond of Kawthar to drink? So the Prophet ﷺ went. And we went and he said that I swear by Allah in whose hand is my life, that this man right now, he's in Jannah for those my eye is seeing. My eye is watching the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's eyes. You understand? He said, my eyes, I can see this man. That in Jannah, paradise, he's being given ghusl. Who? The malaika, special select angels are giving him ghusl. The hoors are prepared for him. The maidens and Jannah is decorated for him. And the blackness that was there, he is now sparkling, glowing light is coming to him. And his heart is illuminated and his smell, it is such a fragrance that is full of the fragrance of paradise now. SubhanAllah, he bury him now. SubhanAllah. You understand my point? Ah. So what was the guarantee? He was hoping on what? That death, that the he was desiring that death with iman. That he had nothing before that, a minute before. But Allah gave him such an action that he was, the end was of khair and where he arrived to in the hereafter. So we have to be careful, cautious on one point factor always, that this iman faith, we need to save it with one thing. What? That we always consider other people better than me and you. And when you degrade yourself in front of others, alhamdulillah, then your iman will be protected and you'll never think that I'm better than another person and your iman will be saved. May Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq to do this. Ameen. Okay, what time is today, iftari? What is it? 50. Okay, good. Recite the rusul.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. As-salatu was-salamu ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa alihi wa sahbihi. Alhamdulillah fadla min din dunya. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqihi Muhammadin wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.